Hello, I am Greg Livingston. I am here with, please introduce yourself.
I'm Melanie Stegman. I'm the owner of Molecular Jig Games, and I'm a biochemist. I studied hedgehog signaling for all you biochemists out there. It's a really important pathway in development and tumor development. So I used to talk to people about what I did, and nobody understood it, and they didn't even understand the basics. So I wanted to go into research, so education, how to educate people better. I got an NIH grant. I made a video game for a nonprofit think tank. We found that it teaches. We published a paper, and now in the last year and a half, I've spun off my own indie game studio, and we're making Immune Defense, a biochemistry strategy game.
Nice. I have to admit, playing Immune Defense made me feel a little weird in that like watching your own cell die and then having to eat it, like that touched me emotionally in a way I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting either that people get really upset when that first neutrophil dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Immune Defense is based on real biochemical functions, I guess you would say.
Absolutely. It's all biochemistry.
And what difficulties were there in translating that? I guess I think of it as like textbook stuff, but what difficulties were there in translating that sort of specific sciencey stuff into a video game?
There were plenty of difficulties. The most recurring difficult problem is convincing the development team, who at the very beginning had much more experience than I did about games, convincing them that yes, this level of detail was actually going to be fun. So what happens is basically white blood cells have tens of thousands of different receptors on their surfaces. They're just like covered, crawling in proteins, so many different kinds. And what I did was I simplified the cell, so now it has three possible surface molecules at any given time. Just three. You can change them, so there's 15 total in all the different combinations, but there's only three different kinds. And still everyone's complaining. Well, but it's still, complicated. And I'm like,
Yeah,
well,
even with three, it gets pretty
yeah.
hectic.
We've gone from 10,000 to three. Yeah, it is. It's really complicated. So we've done two things to make it less complicated, and that is one, start off slower with fewer things to do, and the second thing we do is add more, I guess you call them attaboys, and more feedback and more shiny glowy things, and more feedback basically. When you click on an E. coli, it should glow, and you should know you've selected it. Every little tiny thing that you do in the game should be more fun to do. Okay, so going back to the beginning, making it more simple. When I first started making the game, we started out, we had cells and E. coli and proteins and all these things on the field. And if you wanted to know more, you could click on them, and the data panel on the bottom right of your GUI would tell you what they were. And I had no idea, and the people I was making the game with also had no idea that it was going to be so hard for anybody to figure out at all what the cells were, the proteins were. So we spent about a year backing up, and making the gameplay simpler, 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 so that you start out with just a bacteria on the field, and that's the only thing there, and all you have to do is click on it to identify it.
You can see it in the demo online. The first six levels there ramps up in complexity pretty nicely.
Yeah, I really wanted everyone to come away with the idea that this is a real game, that it's fun. Fun was number one. I wanted it to be another strategy game that will keep you occupied for hours and keep you really engaged, because it's always interesting. What else can I do? What else can I manage? Or what else am I going to have to fight? What other bad guys coming around the corner? I like that about strategy games. So I have to apologize. I've been up against a deadline for the past 2 days. I feel like my brain is all over the place.
Is that what it's like being a researcher?
It's not research at the moment. I just got a new technical artist, game developer on board. He's going to be my partner, making the commercial version of Immune Defense.
Oh.
Yeah. And, you know, we have these talks. He's like, well, as long as the design plan is really well-defined, and it'll, you know, it's something we can do in the nights and the weekends, and we can get this out in about a year. And, of course, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's totally well-defined. It's all nailed down, really concrete. And so for the past 3 days since I spoke with him, I've been, you know, deciding, like, oh, I have three possible options for what should be on the GUI. I'm like, this is what's going to be on the GUI. I've got three possible options for, you know, what zoom state we use. 1 micrometer, 100 nanometers. Okay, these are the zoom states we're going to use. So I've just made 10,000 decisions in the past 3 days. So I'm sorry.
No, I can understand. As a programmer by trade, things are more often than not 10 times more complicated than you think they'll be.
Oh, it's really true. It's really true. One of the things I've learned in the past 8 years of trying to make a video game about biochemistry is when I think I've got it simplified and I think there's just a, you know, just one or two options, and I'll ask the programmer or artist which one they think would be great. You know, involve the team. And usually the stress of needing, of having to make that decision is so much more stress. No one really feels more engaged because I've asked the question. They really just kind of feel like freaked out. Like, yeah. And a little more so too, because it's like we're talking about E. coli and what they're supposed to look like. You know, it's not like we're talking about X-wing fighters that everybody's familiar with or that kind of thing. So it's a little bit like nobody wants to tell me what they think E. coli should look like because they don't want to screw it up. But you know what I mean? There's a added pressure there.
So do they look to you as the expert?
Yeah. Yeah. Which is great and horrible because I'm like an expert on E. coli. I know exactly what they look like. I know exactly why when you take a picture with a microscope of an E. coli, why it doesn't look right and how we should correct it in our art. But I keep getting confused between the word material and the word texture. You know, I'm barely holding on to the word JPEG and TIFF. And so there's a giant gap between us when we try to communicate. Our Venn diagrams of knowledge barely overlap. Huh. And it's very difficult. It's really, really difficult. And it's odd that in 8 years, it's getting better, but it's such a slow pace.
You two are, the two factions are starting to meet in the middle, maybe?
I feel like I've worked with several different developers to make the version of Immune Defense you see now. I've had three major programmers and two sets of artists, and it was mostly a company called Cosmosite that I hired with my grant money from the NIH. And I've learned a lot. And the programmers, Alex Sladen, I think he knows immunology now better than I do. Yeah, because he's got it all coded. He's like, well, E. coli do this because that's how I coded it. Staphylococcus, you know, can divide outside of cells. That's how I coded it. So he's like created a whole immunological situation.
Weird. So instead of, you know, someone who's simply studied what E. coli does, he's actually made a virtual E. coli and knows it from the inside out.
Yeah, yeah. I told him what E. coli does. He coded it. And so he really knows. Whatever I said about E. coli, he knows by heart. And I know, like, 10,000 things about E. coli, and he knows 5 that he coded. And so he'll say, what about this? And I'll think of all the other things that are true about E. coli before I think of the 5 that we've actually nailed down in the game. And I think it's good that the game is simpler. It's good that we've nailed down some facts. And I've just really tried hard for those 5 facts to be the fundamental core ones you need to know. And I guess I've learned more about technical art and programming, and programmers have definitely learned a lot more immunology.
So when you talk about narrowing down 10,000 things to five, is that like when you were talking about having the like having only three possible receptors at once?
So the cool thing about biochemistry, I'll tell you, the cool thing is that you have an organism or a cell or something, and it has a bunch of different proteins, and you can take one of those proteins away, and now the cell can't do something. There's a function that's missing. Or maybe it gained a function. You remove one protein, and now another protein can do what it was trying to do. So that's biochemistry. You've got an organism, and you poke at it and see what it does. So I wanted to give you a cell that did cool stuff, like move around and kill pathogens and do other things, and things that you could see it doing, things that you could be motivated to accomplish. And then I would let you change what it can do and by changing the proteins on its surface. So I chose three categories of things. One is move, one is get yourself activated, and the other is do your job. So with those three categories, you can choose one of five different proteins in each category. So you can move with a purple receptor, and that'll let you follow purple cytokines that are leading you in some direction. You could take off all your move receptors, and then you won't go anywhere. You can put on your activation receptor so that any activating molecules in the area will run into your receptor, and you'll eventually get activated. And your job receptor, your first job receptor, is the thing that sticks to E. coli so that you can eat it. That's how I narrowed it down. So in our game, moving, getting activated, and sticking to bacteria or different kinds of pathogens, those are your key things that you need to do.
And those are like pretty simple things that anyone might understand after having played a video game. It's just moving and eating stuff.
Yeah, I'm a true believer in George Fan's method of introducing the things in your video game. So like, your cell should do what it does. You should see it happen. If you put this receptor on, then the cell should move, and it really works. If the players realize that they're the one that put those receptors on the cell, and then it starts moving, they realize that they caused it to move. And it might take them a couple more times to realize that it's because of the purple proteins in the area, that's why it's moving. But everything that can happen or that is visible and available to be modified by the player.
It's good feedback.
Yes.
Basically, immune defense, would you call it like a Cliff Notes of immunology?
Yeah, it's all the things you need to know to enter into any conversation about immunology. So yeah, it's good Cliff Notes because, like, you know all the characters. You're going to know all the cells. You're going to know basically all the different jobs the cells do, all the different possible receptors they can have. But there's a lot more subtlety to it. So if you had read the book about immunology, you'd realize that there are thousands of receptors, and you can follow hundreds of different cytokines. It's not just five different ones. You would just realize it's a lot more complicated.
Right. It's more like, the introductory chapter than the whole book.
Well, it's actually the whole book. Like, a lot of the things that we're presenting to you, no one's going to teach you until you go to graduate school for immunology. Like, no one's going to introduce you to a natural killer cell and its actual mechanism of killing. That's not something you are ever going to see in an introductory chapter. It's something that's in chapter 15 or something. And that's the thing about making a video game about biochemistry, and that's really the heart of why there is no other biochemistry video game, because we don't really absolutely know for sure what exactly natural killer cells are doing. You can't really do an experiment on one natural killer cell. You have a plate full of them, and then you're always going to have other things in the environment. You can't really look inside of your tissue and see what natural killer cells are doing. Yeah. And so well, two things. I picked and chose, you know, what core things, and I made sure that we weren't teaching anything that could be confusing, so that when you do take freshman biology or advanced immunology, the teachers are going to tell you things like, well, actually, these other things happen, and you won't be confused. You'll know the principle that natural killer cells are investigating, and they're looking around, and they're trying to find infected cells. And what the teacher's going to end up telling you is all the other ways that natural killer cells have for finding infected cells. And you're going to know, I've got infected cells. I need to find them. This natural killer cell is all I've got to find them. I wish I had some better ways. Then you're going to go to immunology class, and they'll be like, look at all these other ways. And then you'll be like, wow, this all fits. It all works. Does this make sense?
Yeah, it's there's not many games about immunology because even as someone with a doctorate, you're explaining that there are difficulties in translating it.
Ah, yeah, that was the second thing I was just going to say. I end up having conversations with other people who have doctorates, and they work on natural killer cells or cytokines, and I say to them, what would one natural killer cell do? And they write to their friends, and there's a whole string of emails where people are going, that's a really funny question. I don't know. Because we talk like scientists, like we argue from example, like, well, when I did this experiment, this is what happened, and I assume it was because of this and this and this, but it wasn't one natural killer cell by itself. You know, nobody knows.
That's
I'm
pretty
sorry.
cool. No.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I feel like I'm really out of it. I feel like I should have begged off and told you I was tired.
No, this is going well.
Cool.
So next I wanted to talk about the paper you wrote about immune attack. Am I right in understanding that you sent out this game to students in elementary, or I think it was middle school, and studied how much they played the game, how well they performed in the game, and how much more confident they were in reading, I guess you would say, high-level immunology diagrams.
Yeah. What we did was we had them play the game for 40 minutes, and then a week later play it for 40 minutes again, and then the day after that I would give them a test. And we had the teachers would give immune attack to half of the students, and the other half got a different game that didn't teach anything about cells or proteins. And so I was able to find out if my 7th graders or 12th graders or in between remembered the names of proteins, the names of cells, remembered what the cell was trying to do, remembered what things you needed to look for in order to get to a certain place to move the cell, and what you were trying to eat. And then I actually wrote 27 multiple choice cell biology immunology questions, and I had to go to really advanced questions because the kids answered all of them right. So I had to make up some pretty tough questions. Things like, what is the difference between a T cell and a neutrophil? And, you know, the answer is that cells differ because they have different proteins. Their DNA is the same, they have different proteins. This is a standard that everybody's supposed to learn in high school. Yeah. And if you meditate and think about it for a little while, you can remember that, but you've never really thought about the difference between a protein and a piece of DNA. Like, it doesn't really mean anything to you. But if you've played the game and realized that your cells really are different because they have different proteins on them, then that question's easier to answer. So we found that the kids that played immune attack could remember the names and the concepts. They knew that the thing they were supposed to be finding was a protein, it wasn't a lipid. And then when I showed them these complicated diagrams from immunology reviews, Nature series of journals, the kids that had played Immune Attack answered that they thought they would be able to understand this complicated diagram. So I didn't ask them what it was about. I just asked them to say on a scale of 1 to 5, do you think that you could understand this if you read it?
Right, if I remember correctly, you phrased it as they were more confident.
Because most people ask, do you want to be a scientist? And most people ask, you know, do you like science or do you think a science career is for you? And that's all good and everything, but what is science? What I wanted to know was, do you think this stuff, these cells and proteins, these things that you've just been playing with, do you think they're something that you can understand?
And that's just with 2 40-minute sessions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it made a huge difference. Statistically significant. And the difference was bigger if the kids reported being game players. So if they played 1 to 20 hours a week, they were more likely to be confident. And then the kids who did not play games did not gain confidence. They didn't lose confidence, thank God. But they also didn't gain confidence. So when I looked at learning, I compared the kids who reported 0 hours per week of games versus 1 to 5 versus 5 to 25. And with learning, all the kids learned significantly more than the controls. So that was nice. Even the kids who said, this game's hard to play, I don't play games, and those kids also, none of them gained confidence, they still learned.
Yeah, just by being exposed.
Yeah, yeah. So the game still taught them and did not take away their confidence. Like, immune attack is a much different game from immune defense. So you can play immune attack at immuneattack.org, PC only. It's a flying game. It's third-person shooter. You play inside the body. You have to use your keyboard and your mouse. And it's a lot for someone who doesn't game, you know, to be right-clicking and driving the ship around inside the vessel.
Yeah, that's some serious hand-eye coordination.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and you only have 40 minutes and you're in front of all your friends and it's pretty stressful. So I was really afraid that the non-gamer kids would be like, oh God, immunology is so hard. Keep crashing and burning all the time.
Is this what grad school is like?
That is what grad school is like. Yeah. Hmm.
So
they did not lose confidence, and they gained confidence. So I was happy.
Well, that's good.
Hmm. The other thing that we knew is they were learning everything went through them. Everything they had to find, they could remember the name of. They knew neutrophils in that game were green, and they did not know things that they did not need to find.
So I wanted to ask, on the topic of teaching, how are immune attack and immune defense different from stereotypical, quote-unquote, edutainment games?
Well, it's really easy. Most learning games are marketed to the teachers and to the schools. And if you need the school to pay you money, you need to do what the school wants in order to sell your product. And my product is marketed towards you and the seventh graders and the and me, you know, people who like games. And I'm not going to pay you if it's not fun. You know, I might pay you for my kid to play it if I think that they might do it. But, you know, basically, I need to be fun, and learning needs to be in there. If you're going to market a game to a school, the teacher needs to know exactly what the kids are learning and exactly how much time it's going to take. And they basically need an output device. You know, they need a test at the end that they can say the kids answered these questions, therefore they know these answers. And we don't have that. Immune Attack was built with, there's no questions in it. There's no test at the end.
You might say that the test is the gameplay, just succeeding.
Yeah, you can say that, and that's great. And actual regular people believe that. And so people are going to buy Immune Defense because they believe that. They're like, oh, I played this. But teachers can't rely on that. They can't say, like, oh, well, you know, they played some level with neutrophils and it's right. Yeah, yeah. And teachers also don't have time to play a video game. You know, it's like if you're a game reviewer, I spend a lot of time playing games, and you want a cheat code, damn it, so you don't have to beat level 3 so you can move on to level 4. And it's the same with teachers. They don't have time to play every level of all these games. So what they really need is straightforward. Here are the standards. Here's what's being taught. Here's the tests that the kids can take. And so what you end up with is, a real edutainment kind of game where it's pretty fun to play if you're trapped in school. But it's not that fun to play if you're not trapped in school. Yeah. And I really wanted Immune Defense to be fun from the beginning. And so I play tested it with kids. And at first we were testing in school and we were like, wow, they love this game. And then you test it outside of school where, they're not forced to sit. And you find out that you've got a long way to go in the fun department.
Yeah, real-time strategy games, I mean, yeah, they're kind of complicated.
Yeah, they are complicated. And that's another thing that I'm, battling with. I really am aiming for a mid-core game. And we have a pretty decent hardcore game. But I want it to be something that the average person will pick up and play. Because I want the average person to know what proteins are and what receptors are.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm redoing the GUI. That's the major change we're making in the game. So that you click on a cell and the menu pops up right next to it. There's no, you don't have to use your strategy game GUI where the data shows up way down at the bottom. We're going to let you click on it and get the data right next to it. And we're also changing it up a bit so that you can see the molecules that are on the pathogens and you can see the molecules that are on the cells and you'll be able to see the interactions between them. And then those two things are going to make it more of a mid-core game. Still complicated. All the interactions, all the things you do are still really complicated, but following the George Fan principle, things will be there and you can see them working and having their effect.
Yeah, that sounds like it'll make it a lot easier to get into when, if I can click on something and see my options as opposed to having to parse this bar at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah, it's really true. And it's really funny because people who see the game and like it, they're the strategy gamers. If they've played StarCraft backwards and forwards, they're like, oh my god, this game is awesome.
I think I played all of 2 missions in StarCraft.
Yeah, I know. I know. I actually was talking to someone who judged the game at a thing, and he voted no for the thing, and he felt really bad because all these people were standing around enjoying it at the thing. We got in, and he's like, I didn't like it. And I'm like, do you like strategy games? He's like, no, I've never played them. I'm like, well, there you go. Yeah. So it's a trick to take complicated stuff and make it really mid-core without... not really simplifying it. I really want you to feel like it's a cool, neat, intricate. But I don't want you to just be like, well, there's 2 buttons. I'll just push one and see what happens. I want you to, think or feel that you're making some kind of informed decision.
It's that sweet spot where you have the player engaged.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a sweet spot. Okay. We're also thinking that we'll have a tablet version that might be simpler, might have a much more just get the cell to go here and go there and not really worry so much about all the details. So we'll think we'll hit a broader audience. We'll sneak this knowledge of receptors into many different formats.
So I was curious, do you know Jesper Juul?
Huh, I looked him up because you mentioned him.
Oh.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's this guy that writes about video games, and he has this neat idea that games are, he says, half real, where there are real rules because when you play Space Invaders, you shoot an alien, there are points in the game that accrue, but you're playing Space Invaders, and so the half real part is that, it's not actually space aliens inside the arcade cabinet.
Yeah.
So with Immune Attack, you simulate, or actually with both Immune Attack and Immune Defense, you're that fake half is kind of not fake anymore because now you're simulating factual interactions.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you had any thoughts regarding that barrier between fiction and reality.
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts about that. Really, a lot. Because a lot of people, like, their first gut reaction, well, first of all, every single person says, is it for fun or is it for learning? Every single person. There's a giant division, apparently, between fun or learning. And then a lot of people say, like, well, if you keep it real, it won't be fun. And then I always say, what if we were making a Star Wars game? You know? And if I made the Death Star really close to Tatooine, you would be outraged. And I would say, like, well, it's more fun this way because it's easier to get to the Death Star. And you would be completely outraged. So, like, there's a reality there that matters, really, really matters to everybody. And that's it's imaginary. Like, even your Space Invaders guys, you know, they all go in the same direction. If they went in different directions, it wouldn't be the same game. And so it is imaginary, but even the imaginary part is rigid. There's always, like, rigid bits. And so I really think that the fantasy worlds that we develop, as soon as it's developed, it's got rules. You know, it's still fantasy. It's not really there. It's just pixels on a screen. But those worlds are complete with governments and rules and languages and instantly, as soon as we make them. And the thing about molecular biology is it's a world. It's a giant, fantastic inner space. You know, it's like Middle Earth. It's somewhere that's really hard to define where it is, but there's all these characters that have different traits and different jobs, and there's tribes of them. All the purple receptors bind to cytokines, and they're always going to do this one thing. And it's a whole new fantasy world with its rules and randomness and things that happen for different reasons that we can't relate to because we're not in that world. And that's why I really think I've basically made a fantasy game, a brand new strategy game in a fantasy world.
You've taken biochemistry and given it the allure of, Tolkien backlore.
That's what I really think. Like, nobody really wants to play another dwarves-based strategy game. We need a new strategy.
Yeah, where's a dwarf fortress? Or, I mean, protein fortress.
Yeah, Protein Fortress would be awesome. I've got Dwarf Fortress. I met the guys that made it. They loved Immune Defense. They
Oh,
were like,
nice.
"This is so awesome." I know. Yeah, I was like, "So, like, all the geeks in the world really like Immune Defense." Yeah, scientists love it. We were at Gamescape in Baltimore, and like five different groups of people, because Gamescape is an add-on to a festival called Artscape in Baltimore, Maryland. So we get a lot of people there who are not gamers, and they wander in, and they're like, "Oh yeah, I'm going to med school here at Johns Hopkins," or, you
Oh.
know, "I'm a nurse at the hospital," and or, "I'm doing research." We had three different groups of graduate students and postdocs who were like, "Oh my God, there's TNF! Grab it! You need to activate your ego."
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really awesome. Really awesome. Because, you know, the big cool guys with the party games, they're all like, "What's going on over there? What's that strategy game getting so much attention?"
Didn't even hit me that Johns Hopkins is right down the street there.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, you gotta know your audience.
So one last question before we part. This question is about just game design in general, not necessarily related to immune defense or immune attack in specific. When it comes to game design, which do you consider more important? The game in itself, the intention of the developer, or the experience of the player?
I can't get past the experience of the player. If I make a game and you don't like it, then it's not a good game because you don't like it. It really doesn't matter what I think of it. It's sort of like the color red looks pukey to you if the color red looks pukey. So if you don't like my game, then you're in a world where this game is not fun. And when I play a game, if I don't like it, I don't care what the developer was trying to do. Yeah, and I think this is the simplistic version, you know, of game philosophy. This is like, you know, the simplest interpretation of this literature version is like, well, if it's no fun, then I don't like it. Like I played Papers, Please, and I really like what the author was trying to do. It was really neat, putting you in someone's shoes and letting you see how things work. But I hate filling out forms. I hate comparing numbers. And you need to correctly identify numbers and match forms in order to get to the cool parts where you get to lie and cheat and take bribes. And so I didn't like the game. Yeah.
It's almost actually getting back to your response about the difference between the immune games and edutainment games, that in your experience people were learning better if it was actually catered to them.
Mm. I don't exactly know what you mean. But...
So, like, how an edutainment game is typically marketed towards a school, whereas the immune defense game is geared more towards the person who's actually going to be playing it. So
yes.
It would count the experience of the player as most important.
That is absolutely true. That's absolutely true. And I don't think I made that point as clear as you just did. But people definitely learn better if the game's engaging, if it's repetitive, you know, they have to do the same thing several times, you know, that kind of thing. And if they want to do the same thing, if they go back and replay it, or explain to their friend how to do it, you know, or make fun of the next guy who can't manage it. Like, if it's so engaging, you don't want to stop watching the computer even though it's not your turn anymore. You're going to learn more. And that really happens.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Player experience is everything.
Well, it's been good talking to you.
Thanks.
Oh, actually, before we go, I should ask if there's anything you would like to plug.
Oh, yes, I do have something I would like to plug. We, Immune Defense, is still on Indiegogo. You can go to immunedefensegame.com, and you can find all about our game, and you can still buy advanced copies for $10. And for $15, you can get a copy of every game I make in the future. So when I make that new MMO that takes place in the molecular world, you get to play an enzyme, you'll get a free copy. Yeah, Molecular Jig Games, we need you.
Nice. Well,